All right, come on in. You can grab a seat, grab your Bible. We are in Luke chapter 10 today. And do you guys like that picture of me on the sabbatical? Yeah. You should have seen the ones that didn't make the cut. Andrew's like putting my head on bodybuilders on the beach, and I was like, oh my goodness. I don't know what's going to happen while I'm away. I can just see my head popping up on all these different things each week. So always fun. Having fun. So let's see. Zach, come on up. Zach's going to read the word for us today. We are in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. So thank you, Zach.
Yeah. Good morning, church. All right. Yeah, like he said, we're in Luke chapter, 10, 38 through 42? Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So here it is. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thanks, Zach. All right. August 6, 1965, English rock band released their new album. This band, by early 1964, they were international stars, achieved unprecedented levels of success and popularity, and this album would be nominated for Album of the Year. Title of the album was Help. The name of the band is? The Beatles. All right. I thought some of you would get it. I thought some of you might be stumped by that. Yes, the lead song on the album was Help, and its lyrics still resonate with many today. Let me read these for you. You may know them. If so, you can sing along. Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind and opened up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please? Help me. There you go. All right. Some people are going back to the glory days right there. Yes, it's a neat song, and I don't know if you've ever been in a place in your life that you needed help. It's interesting. A Rolling Stone writer described this song as John Lennon's first crack into the shell that he had built to protect himself. They said this is where he finally let some of his emotions out regarding his fears of their quick fame. Said this song expressed the burden of success, the many worries that pressed down upon him, and the cry for help in dealing with them. Interesting to read the lyrics to that song after hearing some of those things. Well, we're in a series called Broken and Healed, and we are looking at different people that were broken in life and how they found healing in Christ. Well, one of the things that can often lead us to feeling broken is anxiety and fear and worry. When we get to that place where we realize we just can't do it all. And those are the times that we often want to cry out for help. I'm sure every one of us, you have different things going on in life or different experiences where you were kind of brought to the end of what you were able to do. Brought to the end of what you are able to maintain, brought to the end of the number of plates that you can keep on spinning and spinning and spinning. And when you have that, you come to a place where you start looking for help. Maybe the expenses mounting, the social issues going on, the pressures of life, work, your boss needs this or that, the kids need this or that. Maybe you're looking at, we need to do this, but it just doesn't add up over here. What in the world do I do? I could read a lot of stats about how anxiety is increasing today, I don't think you'd need me to tell you that people are more anxious today than ever. Do you get that feeling just talking around to others that there's a lot of anxiety in the world? A lot of anxiety on politics, on life. It's also interesting. I was thinking about this, and you know, social media, it brings you into other people's thoughts on everything, which often brings you into their pet peeves on everything. Just recently, I got on social media, I saw somebody I know, and they were just posting, like, I hate when people do this. And I'm like, I do that all the time. So I'm like, you know, I'm getting anxious, like, you know, this is somebody I know, is he going to be aware that, like, that's me, you know? And it creates anxiety. You just have anxiety on all these different things. Well, today's passage, we meet a lady who needed some help, didn't she? She came to Jesus for a help, and he opened the doors for her to get help. May rephrase that and say he opened her eyes to see what she needed to do in that. Jesus shows we overcome our anxiety over our many, many, many worries by focusing on one thing, the one thing that is more important than anything else, and that one thing is him. So we're going to go through and talk three things from this passage. The first thing is that the many troubling things, there's always many things, right? But what's on your mind? Oh, there's so much. There's so many things. It's interesting that this passage, it's two sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha, you know, we're going to critique her a bit. You do have to commend her at times. Verse 39, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So come on, you can stay with us, Jesus. Probably wasn't just Jesus. It was his disciples as well. So she opens up her home to this nomadic college class, right? Probably not a lot of us would be willing to do that. Sure, come on in, eat our food, stay for a while, keep teaching. There's a graciousness to her that is very neat. But we also see very soon that this generous gesture also leads her to being very distracted. Verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving. Really interesting. The most powerful man in the world is in her house, and she's distracted and fearful about other things. You could say the most interesting man in the world is in her house, and she is consumed with other things. She's worrying about all kinds of other stuff. It just goes to show you something of the fickleness of the human heart, right? That you can be in the presence of Jesus and unable to pay attention. You can be in the presence of Jesus and being fearful and worried and anxious. You know, our hearts, we just attract things to worry about like a magnet attracts metal. Our hearts can do the same thing. And it's also interesting in this passage that there's a sibling rivalry. Nothing that brings out your anxiety more than a sibling that's not doing what they're supposed to, right? Martha's the older sister, the one that's always responsible, always doing the right thing at the right time. And then there's Mary, the younger sister, just wants to have fun, just carefree, listening to Jesus. You can see how the anxiety builds in Martha. We see verse 39, Mary is sitting at the Lord's feet. Really neat, sitting at someone's feet. It says Paul sat at the feet of his teacher Gamaliel. That sitting at someone's feet, it's a way to express discipleship, that someone is learning from this other person. It's also neat to see Jesus here teaching a woman. We talked a couple weeks ago how most women were not taken on by teachers, by rabbis. They didn't teach women. So here's Jesus teaching a woman about the faith, teaching a woman about what it means to walk with God. Mary is listening. Martha is fretting. Isn't that interesting? Mary is listening. Martha is fretting. Oh, what about this? What about that? Well, it's interesting that she's distracted, and she's distracted by some good things. It says she's distracted with much serving. She cares about helping Jesus. She cares about making sure this is a good time. She cares that dinner doesn't burn. She cares that it's a pleasant environment to be in. All of those are great things to worry about. The word there where she's distracted with much serving, that word serving, it's the Greek word diakoneo, where we get the word deacon, one of the offices in the church, deacons. It's about serving others. So serving is something that we are called to do. Serving is something that Christians are commended for doing. So Martha is doing some good things, but it's overshadowing the most important thing. She's going after good things, but those lesser things are interfering with it. And one of the things that happens is the blessing becomes a burden, right? You can always tell when you've kind of lost sight of something is the blessing. All of a sudden, it becomes a burden. You're trying to bless other people, but then all of a sudden, you're carrying this weight. Oftentimes, you're carrying a weight that you weren't intended to carry. You were trying to do things that are outside of your ability to do. You have to rest on God. That's often an indication that you've missed something, and you have to remember that anxiety's close friend is burnout, right? You start getting anxious, and then you start burning out. It's really neat. In this passage, it talks about she was distracted. She was distracted. In the Greek word, it's a word called paraspao. Para is around, you know, so it's a circle. Spao means to pull. So if you think about this word, it's you're surrounded and everything is pulling you in a different way, kind of like a tug of war. Whichever one is strongest in that moment, that's where you end up going. You get distracted. You're pulled in the wrong direction. You're like, I should be doing this, but this thing, it's pulling me that way. That's what Martha is experiencing in that moment. She's being turned aside, led astray, diverted from the thing that she should be devoted to. That's what is happening with her. She's preoccupied with the details. And Jesus even comes up and says, you are anxious and troubled. In fact, it probably seems that everyone knew that she was anxious and troubled. She's anxious. She's worrying about things. She's being anxious. Typically, you start to fixate on something. You're fixating on the problem. She's doing that. But when it also says that she's troubled, that's a neat word. It literally means to make a noise, an uproar, a disturbance. It's a sense of an audible sign of aggravation. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is trying to teach, and here's Martha over here huffing and puffing about, oh, I've got these dishes are so heavy. I kind of imagine this, and I think she would be like when you ask your teenager to unload the dishwasher. Like, that's what's going on here, right? Right? Or you might say it's like when dad has to get his shoes out of the living room floor. Ah, can't believe I've got to do that. You know, so there's just this very outward sign that she is unhappy. So Jesus recognizes that she's anxious and troubled about many things. I don't think you needed to be omniscient to recognize that Martha is not happy. She was making it known to everyone. She doesn't like what's going on. And you also see a little bit of the victim mentality here. Do you see that? She comes to Jesus and says, Lord, do you care? Lord, do you care? My sister has left me to do all of this. Wait a minute. We were talking about not getting stuff done, and now it's like, you don't care about me. Ever notice a shift, how that sometimes happens? And it's also interesting, a lot of times we feel unloved because people aren't willing to carry the same burden that we have. Martha's carrying a burden she's not supposed to be carrying, and now she's upset that other people won't dive into that with her. Lord, don't you care? Lord, don't you see this injustice that's going on? I always notice that with my kids when they're fighting. Oh, the injustices of life. And yet she's here and she is feeling that there is an injustice. Lord, make my sister carry some of this. Just interesting how anxiety can lead to resentment. We want others to feel the same thing. And one of the things you see here is you just kind of see how our hearts can just create a bird's nest of problems. I don't know if I remember when I was little, we would go fishing and we would have a rod and I think it was called a bait caster reel, and you'd have to put your thumb on it and you'd throw it, and if you didn't keep your thumb on the reel, the bait would hit the water and the reel would keep spinning. You had to put your thumb to stop it. If you didn't do that, it just spun and all the line, like you would just watch it. And literally, you throw it, everything's clean, and then in seconds, you have this giant bird's nest, and you're trying to sort through, wait, where is the end? Where does this piece go next? It's just this giant mess to try and figure out, and that's what sin does to us in our situations and in our lives. It starts making things really complicated. Like, wait a minute, are you anxious about this? Wait a minute, you don't feel loved? Like, what's going on here? That's what's going on with Martha. What help does Jesus give to Martha? It's interesting that Jesus corrects her. He doesn't coddle her. He doesn't coddle her fears. He corrects her. You know, a lot of times when you're feeling anxious, you want to be pampered, right? I mean, that's what I want. I want a man to go, oh, I'm so sorry, honey. You've got all this stuff. Love it that my wife she's great at speaking truth. She's like, why are you worried about that? What are you doing? It's not that important, you know? Sometimes we need truth. Yes, sometimes I need a hug. Sometimes others need a hug. But we also need truth. And Jesus speaks to this. It's interesting here that her anxiety is a result of her poor choices. Now, that's not always the case, but a lot of times it is. She is worrying about the wrong things. She's worried about giving the prophet a great reception. What would be more important, if you want to honor a prophet, you hear his words, right? If you want to honor a prophet, it's not what's for dinner, it's what's he teaching. If you want to honor Jesus, you go and you learn from him. You recognize Jesus is teaching, and this is a moment that I need to learn. I need to put aside those other things. That's what this is about. It's about the priority that should have. I'm sure we can all relate to some degree or another when Jesus is wanting to speak to us and we start getting dings on the text and emails come through and, oh, I need to do this and that and all the other things. We have to start asking ourselves, are we making it a priority to hear from him? There's so many things that can pull us away, push us that way, pull us this way, kind of devour us one bite at a time, one distraction at a time, and we are going the opposite way that we're supposed to. We see that she's worried about the many things. And oftentimes when our lives start getting sideways, start getting away from where we want to be, we realize, wait a minute, there's been too many things. Too many things have been coming up. Too many things have my attention. And that's what brings us to the next thing, which is the one thing. Jesus says there's one thing that's necessary. If you want a solution to the many things, focus on the one thing. Got to have priorities. That's what Jesus is teaching her. There are priorities. Hear it all the time. You're never going to get everything done that you want to get done. But you can get a few things done. And if you make sure those few things are the most important things, you get those things right, and oftentimes everything else falls into place. Jesus is teaching something very similar to that here. Jesus tells Martha that one thing is necessary and only one thing. I remember reading a book a couple years ago. They called it Gospel Simplicity. Gospel simplicity. The gospel has a way of simplifying our lives. When you realize the one thing that matters is my walk with the Lord, it simplifies. It brings a quieting of all those many, many voices. That's what's happening here. Verse 41, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Jesus is telling us there's one thing that's most important. There's one thing. And you know, this is something that I don't think it's that Martha just didn't understand this. I don't think it's that Martha just rejected this. I think it's that in the moment, she forgot. In the moment, she got distracted. In the moment, she got pulled away. And this is kind of probably a reminder of what she already knew. What is the good portion, though? What is the good portion that will not be taken from Mary? You know, if you struggle with anxiety, this is a great thing to remind yourself. Here are a couple verses that talk about the good portion. Psalm 16:5. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot secure. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. What is the portion there? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the inheritance that we have with Him. It is our relationship with God. That's what's most important. If we have that, we have that forever. If we have that, nobody can take it away. We are secure. Also, Psalm 73, verse 25, it says, Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I mean, just hear that. What does the world have? There's nothing in this world that I desire but you. You're the only one that can fill me. You're the only one that can satisfy. You're the only one that can bring purpose to my life. There's a satisfaction that is in God that you cannot find anywhere else, and that's what Jesus is saying. Mary has chosen the more important thing. That's what Mary has chosen, and it won't be taken from her. Let her enjoy this. And you're invited to come too, Martha. That's what he's saying. Mary has chosen the better part. You know, oftentimes when we are anxious and worried, you know, it's never about dinner itself, right? It's not, oh, goodness, dinner may not be good. It's always, well, dinner may not be good, and they won't like me. Oh, my goodness, you know, maybe I don't do this right, and this happens. It often reveals our idols. It often reveals the things that we, other things that we are worshiping. We don't say, hey, I'm kind of worshiping my friends right now, but our anxiety reveals that, man, I am really worried about pleasing this. I'm really worried about this being done right. And I'm so worried about this, I'm willing to let go of this other thing over there. I know Jesus said to come and sit at his feet, but man, what if we run out of buffalo chicken dip? Peter's over there, he's eating, you know, he's double dipping. Can't let that happen in my house, right? All of a sudden, good things have distracted you from the most important thing. And Jesus is reminding them of what's first and foremost, what's most important. And we can see that how your idols start to be revealed in those times. We need to focus on the first thing, the first portion, because it's only in the Lord that we have something that is promised and guaranteed, and our work does not depend on it. We will never be able to do enough to earn this. God gives it to us as a gift. He gives it to us as a gift. There's only a few things that you really need to focus on in life. Get those most important. Get the most important thing right, and all the others will fall into place. You miss that one thing. You miss the most important thing, and it doesn't matter what else you do. This is very similar to what is taught in Matthew 6:24. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. You can't have two masters. You're either going to love one and hate the other. And actually, that word hate, it means to be disinterested in. One of the greatest expressions of hate is like, I don't even care about you. I'm just disinterested. But oftentimes we use that in culture. It's like, well, I'm just, you know, I'm not really that interested in church. That's a form of hate. That's a form of just a complete disconnect. It's that important. We can't serve two masters. We can't serve 10 masters. You're either going to be devoted to one, but you can't be devoted to all of those. When you have many masters, you are going to be distracted. You are going to be anxious. It's going to reveal those idols in our heart, those other gods that we are worshiping. When you have another god, it just, when something else rises to the importance of a god, that's expressing your idols, and it's foolish. It'd be like me telling me, hey, Amanda, let's go on a date. And by the way, there's this old girlfriend from high school. Can she just kind of come and hang out while we're there? Not a good idea, right? Not a good idea. And so in your life, when you start having other things that are rising to the importance of that, it's going to set you up for a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustration. The only way to overcome anxiety is by focusing on the Lord. It's the discipleship that He offers, and He offers to renew us in our minds. It's amazing that we can be renewed in our minds, renewed in our understanding. If we're struggling with anxiety, we realize that we have a God who loves us, who is all-powerful, who we can trust. We can rest in that. It's really interesting. You know, I've had people, oh, hey, you're a pastor. Hey, I struggle with anxiety. Can you give me some verses on that? And it's interesting. You know, I'll enter in that conversation and start sharing some verses with them. And there's some great verses on anxiety. I read some verses that kind of help you with that. But here's the thing. You can't divorce those verses from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't just have here's a few things to do differently. Here's a few things to focus on. No, it comes back to a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's in Him that we are saved. If you want to make sense of life, if you want to make sense of all that's going on, it is through a relationship with Jesus Christ that all of those things make sense. Because here's the thing. The only way you can really have peace in this life is if you know it's going to end well. If you know it's going to end well, you can have peace now. If the end is eternal destruction, if the end is we just disappear into a vapor and it's over, we should all be very anxious and worried right now. The only way you can have peace is if you know there's a Savior. The only way you can have peace and joy is if you know that there is salvation, that we're going to be delivered from death, that destruction is not the end. This is what Jesus is offering to us. But he offers this to us, and we have to choose to separate ourselves from the rat race of the world and come and find discipleship at his feet. We have to find it on his terms. We can't just extrapolate a couple verses, take those on, and then just go on our way without a relationship with him, without a true submission to Jesus Christ. You have to say no to your other idols. You have to say no to your other things. Martha had to sit there and say, hey, it doesn't matter if we don't get those things done right. I just want to go and sit at Jesus' feet. She had to put to death her idol of self. She had to put to death the idol of perfectionism and just go and learn at Jesus' feet. We have to do the same thing. If you're going to follow Jesus, you have to say no to other things. If you're going to find peace, you're going to have to say no to a lot of the things that are pulling you and distracting you. A couple ways we can follow Jesus, a couple ways that we can find rest, a couple ways that we can just tell ourselves, I'm going to rest, I'm going to trust. There's kind of a daily rest that we can do. Jesus modeled this. Jesus went out early in the morning, left the disciples, left all the needs, left all the people looking for healing and everything else, and he went out and he prayed. He read his Bible and he prayed. Why did he do that? One, because he wanted to be with his Father. Two, he's also modeling for us of how to live life. We need to connect with God. We need to read the Word. We need to be reminded of what he's done. And just like I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to be hungry, I'm also going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to have spiritual hungers. I'm going to have spiritual hunger pains throughout the day. I need to make sure that I'm meeting those needs, that I'm resting in Jesus. This is one thing that you can do. You just have some time during the day where you just put your phone aside. Maybe you turn it off. Maybe you leave it in another room. And just go and get in the Word. Turn off the television. Turn off all the distractions and spend some time with the Lord. It's a way that you can grow and just remind yourself, my life is not about all those other things that I need to do. Remind yourself that I need to be fed. If I'm going to be the mother that God calls me to be, sometimes I just need to cast aside some of those distractions. Maybe you've got a baby in one hand and a Bible in the other. There are moments like that, but you're just saying, Lord, I need you. I need to feed myself spiritually. Take those times of daily rest. So we talk about rest. There's also, think about the Bible. It talks about a weekly rest, a day that is holy to the Lord, a day that is separate, a day that is distinct from the other days. The Old Testament calls that the Sabbath. The New Testament talks about the Lord's Day. We're not constrained. There's a freedom that comes with Christ, but we also see the importance of resting, of having a day that we get away, we say no to other things, and we commune with the Lord. You go to church, you're in fellowship with other people. You have those spiritual needs met. These are some things that God calls us to do. And as I was thinking about this, I had this question. If you were to go to Jesus with the burdens you have, and in need of help, would he say, you're focused on the one thing or the many things? Think about that. Martha went to Jesus, and he challenged her. He corrected her. A lot of times we are anxious and worried, and I think oftentimes I'm my own worst enemy. And I think Jesus would probably tell me a lot of times, Keith, you're worrying about those things that aren't that big of a deal. You're worried about the many. Just focus on the one thing. What have you chosen? Have you chosen the greater or the lesser? And this is also a reminder that, you know, I think sometimes Jesus can make our lives a little bit worse before he makes it better. Sometimes we go to him, and what he says to us challenges us. And sometimes we're not in a place of being ready to make a decision yet. And oftentimes it gets more complicated before it gets better. Charles Spurgeon said, the most unhappy man in the world is the half-hearted Christian. He has just enough of Jesus that he can't enjoy the world, but he's got too much of the world to really know Jesus. And sometimes we can be in that place where God is calling us to let go of certain things and serve him fully and completely, and we're not willing to let go of those things. And we know better, and so we can't enjoy those things anymore, but there is also an anxiety and fear and worry because we haven't really surrendered to him just yet. Think about the rich young ruler who came to Jesus to ask about how he could have eternal life, and Jesus told him, hey, it's easy, just go sell everything and follow me. And the man went away sad. He went away sad because he wasn't willing to let go of the things that he had. He wasn't willing to really take hold of Jesus. He had idols in his life that were keeping him from following Christ. He went away sad. He knew who Jesus was, but he also knew he didn't have a part in that. You've got to make a decision. Are you going to let go of those things and go wholeheartedly after Jesus? Or are you going to let those things pull you aside, distract you, pull you away from the most important thing? I also want to say, it's interesting, as we talk about rest and just what our secular society says to us over and over again. Secular society says, hey, this Christianity stuff, it's nonsense. Don't listen to it. But by the way, it's really important that you find time to take off, like take off one day a week. Find some time each morning to try and get some good thoughts in your head. Maybe read some inspiring books. Maybe get around people that are going to encourage you in that and build you up. And hey, don't drink too much. Don't be mean to other people. And don't do any of these other things. I'm like, you're just telling me I shouldn't believe this book, but I should believe everything that it tells me to do. It's just nonsense. The more we see secular society push away from Christianity and try and put together an alternative explanation, it's just ridiculous. I'll take the Bible any day. I'll build my life on this. I'm fully convinced of it. The world often tells you that getting over anxiety, it's a list of things that you need to do. The Bible says that getting over anxiety, it's about a relationship with the most important person in the universe. Third thing to see in this passage is that Martha is healed through Jesus' help. She's healed. This offers hope to all you uptight, type A, detail-oriented, goal-driven people. All right? You can find help. You can find ways to rest. How do we know that Martha got it? Let me read a passage of John. This is really neat. Just profound expressions of what she says. If you want to look for great confessions of the faith, you may think about Peter, you know, when Jesus says, who do you say I am? You are the Christ. It's a powerful confession. Martha is right there. John 11:21. It's a later conversation. Martha said to Jesus, this is when her brother has died, and Jesus is going to raise him from the dead. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise. In the resurrection, on the last day, somebody's been paying attention in class, right? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives in me and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Isn't that amazing? I mean, those are some bold statements that she's making right there. He wouldn't have died. You would have saved him. I know that he'll rise in the resurrection on the last day. Yes, Lord. He calls him Lord. Who's she living for? Her Lord. That's what has control of her life. She believes that he is the Christ, the Son of God. She needed help, and she found help in Jesus. She found rest. She overcame her fears. She overcame her distractions. She overcame her short-sightedness, which I think she understood this, but she just got pulled away. The power of repentance, saying, "Lord, I'm sorry. I missed it. I got led astray, but I'm back. I'm back." We find help in Christ. And it's amazing that in Jesus, someone offers us help, just like the Beatles. I need help, not just anybody. We don't have help from just anybody. We have help from the most important somebody in the universe. We can put all of our fears to the side. It doesn't mean that we'll never be anxious, that we'll never be worried, but it means that we have a way to fight those. It means that we know that there is someone who is greater than all those other things. We can go to him when our hearts are anxious and troubled and worried and fearful. And he deals gently with us, doesn't he? He dealt gently with Martha. Sometimes you come and you're worried. "God, are you going to be mad? I was distracted. I was anxious." No, we come. We come because he's gracious. We come because he has dealt with many broken and troubled people in the past. And as we bring our brokenness to him, we're confident that we're going to find healing. We are going to find help. Whether you are a mom with a young child, or you are running a big business, or anything in between, we find help for our worries and our anxiety. And most of all, we find hope in this life. That we have hope that we can be saved, we can be delivered from this, not because we've been so perfect, not because we've been so good, but because God is merciful. And Jesus came, he lived a perfect life, he died on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be redeemed, so we can be forgiven for all of our distractions. We can be forgiven of all of our idols, but we also have to make a decision that, hey, I'm pushing those to the side. That thing's an idol, it has distracted me. I'm getting rid of it. I'm not looking at it. I'm not focused on that. When we do that, that's when we have entered into a solid rock. We have a solid rock to build our lives. We have a solid rock that we can go to and be firm and stable. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. As broken people come to you, they find healing. They find help. They find mercy. And Lord, we just come to you yet again, asking you to be merciful and gracious to us. Open our eyes that we would see as we should. Open our eyes that we can see our hearts and our need for you. And I just want to pray for those that may feel like they are just on unstable ground, maybe uncertain, maybe anxious and worried. Lord, I just pray that as they turn to you, that you would give them a spirit of peace, that your spirit would rest on them, that your peace would rest on them. We just pray for you to empower them and strengthen them. I want to give you a moment just to pray between you and the Lord, whatever you feel led to pray. If it's confessing your anxiety, your worry, your distractions, just take a moment, do that. Say, "God, I'm sorry for these things." And just ask him for forgiveness, ask him for help. I want to encourage you just to pray. Say, "God, give me more of you. Help me to be satisfied in you and you alone." Lord, I just pray that. I pray that for the moms this Mother's Day as we observe that, and just all the many things that mothers have to do. Lord, I pray that you would just give them a great peace in the midst of all that. Help them to focus on you, to rest in you. And Lord, I pray for the others that maybe they have different stuff going on, but it's the same thing, the distractions. Lord, give us your peace. Help us to find our purpose in you. Help us to see that you are our inheritance. And what we have in you is greater than anything else the world can offer. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are, for what you've offered to us, for the grace you extend time and time again. And I just pray that we would all come with all of our heart to serve you and follow you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you. We're going to sing one last song, just a great way just to express our confidence in the Lord and who he is and what he's done. So just want to invite you to stand and let's sing this. And if you need to want to come down front for prayer, you can do that. Or if you need to kneel where you're at, pray. Welcome to do that. Just want to encourage you to respond.